Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette going to join us in a moment here. Someone texts in, putting aside the Youngstown State exhibition game, Pitt has crushed one team because its quarterback literally imploded. Every other Pitt victory was by a narrow margin, with several being last-second come-from-behind wins. Yeah, I don't think Virginia's very good, and they've given up, what, 17 sacks or something their last three games? Think the Sharks might eat, Doran.
Yeah, I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule, so.
That drives you nuts when you hear that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they only beat Cincinnati by a point. Oh, my, they had to come from behind and beat West Virginia. Guess what? That loss counted. It still hurts me.
Yes.
I hate that, too.
And look what the young quarterback did in those two games to win those games.
Correct.
So if you want to talk about the young quarterback and looking lost, he didn't look lost then.
Nope.
So be quiet.
And not to mention, it's a matchup sport. Every sport is. But when I see a team with a bad offensive line playing against Pitt and a secondary that I don't think is particularly good in Virginia, I think that's a matchup win for the Panthers. And they're also a 7.5-point favorite, so Vegas, by the by, happens to agree with me. Do you think they're going to smash Virginia?
Yes.
It's also a bounce-back spot.
Yes. It's like, hey, we're here. You get a little shot of confidence whenever the college playoff rankings come out and you're 18th.
Yes.
And a lot of people were surprised by that. You see your name up there and you're like, okay, we are legit. So you want to respond. What are you smirking about?
Because we got a tweet here. I loved how Doran went out of his way to make it as awkward as possible and make Adam absolutely squirm. Exactly what friends should do. I think our friendship might be over after that last segment.
What did I make awkward? What are they talking about?
I think it was me.
What with what?
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette joins us now, covers the Steelers, Locked On Steelers podcast, and also covers the Pitt Panthers. Chris, how you doing today? Good morning, buddy.
Doing just fine, fellas. Adam, what did Doran do? I don't understand.
Yeah, can you explain, actually, so I have a better understanding? You know, let Chris figure this out.
Yeah.
He's very smart.
Chris joins us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Chris, sidestepping all of that, the Commanders have run the zone read more effectively than any team in football this season. They have a quarterback who, my God, can scoot. They've got running backs that fit that system. What do the Steelers need to do to limit that portion of the game? Because I think that might be the key of the game.
One thing I look at when I see zone running offenses is I see edges have to crush the outside. They have to take the tackles, take the tight ends, not let them expand the offensive line. And that's one thing that it's really good that you got. Alex Highsmith back healthy is really good that you got. Nick Herbig supposedly back healthy, and you added Preston Smith. And personally, I think just watching the film on Preston Smith, that's something that he's really good at contributing to. He's a big body. He loves to be physical. He's really good at getting his hands up inside the frame of edge blockers. And that's going to give the Steelers a chance, even when their top guys aren't on the field, to still control the run game. So against the Commanders, you got to be able to set the edge, control it, and then the inside guys got to fill in behind them. But if they set that edge, I think that between Cam Hayward, Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton, Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, and Landon Roberts, they'll have the ability to squeeze the run game. And as long as they have gap integrity, they can keep them in check. But the thing is about the Commanders, they've had two different running backs be dangerous. Jaden Daniels can be dangerous. They force you to honor each of the gaps. So it's going to, again, take that gap integrity from the Steelers defense.
Chris, how much of an impact do you think that Mike Williams will have in this football game? And how much of an impact would that be on the other receivers? And, you know, the Van Jefferson and, you know, Calvin Austin and even George Pickens. Like, how much of an impact will he have individually, and how will that impact the other receivers around him?
So, like I've been saying since they picked him up, he's not a game breaker himself, but he's a puzzle piece. And puzzle pieces help open up things for other guys, like you're saying right here. And that's where Mike Williams can really come in, is if he comes in and he is your deep ball, your play action guy, your, you know, 10 yard out, and Russell Wilson just wants to throw a contested ball, that's what he brings to the table. And if Russell Wilson can even hit just twice in this game, like play action, 20 yards downfield. They leave him one-on-one, and he wins a jump ball. All of a sudden, that's going to force the defense to be like, wait a second. We can't just we can't have a safety not be over top of this guy because we don't have a 6'4 cornerback that can jump with this guy. So that forces maybe we have to play more two high safety looks so that there's a safety on his side of the field and a safety on George Pickens' side of the field. But when you start doing that, then the run game is going to open up because now those safeties have to stay further back and they can't risk running up to stop the run, and it's going to make play action a little bit more dangerous because then the linebackers are kind of more on their own. It's all part of the big picture for the Steelers and Arthur Smith. They want to run the ball to hurt you with play action. They want to pass the ball to set up the run. They want to use play action to keep you guessing all the time. And if they're able to get one of those things going a little bit more, and that's where I think Mike Williams comes into play, is those deeper passes, that can lead to a lot more dominoes falling for the Steelers.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here in the Fan Morning Show. Chris, what do you think it looks like if the Steelers are down 14 points in a game and they have to drop back and traditionally throw the football, you know, without play action, without being able to get Russ on the edge? Like, everyone knows you got to throw, and so you're dropping back and throwing it. Do you think the Steelers' offensive line would be able to hold up in those circumstances?
I think it was, like, late in the game, like it was, like, 5 minutes left. That'd be tough. But I think one thing people forget is that when you're down 14, even if it's the first quarter, the second quarter, even the third quarter, you could still run the ball and get things going, especially if you're trusting your run game, especially against a team like the Commanders. It's one of the worst run defenses in the NFL right now. And one thing I think that they have that, like, when people say, well, the Cowboys were one of the worst run defenses in the NFL, it didn't work too well against them. Yes, but this is where having a Russell Wilson helps against that, because in those games, one of my biggest criticisms of Justin Fields was when the Cowboys were coming up to the line of scrimmage and saying, hey, we dare you to throw the football, the Steelers weren't able to check out of their runs. I believe Russell Wilson's going to get those liberties. I think that he's going to get those chances to check out of those and say, all right, they're run blitzing, we're throwing right behind that. That's where I think the Steelers can have a better chance than they've had before. That's where I think that they can, that even if they are down, they can use that to kind of set things up, and then that way they can run the ball. And then if you're the Commanders, then you're still in a guessing game. But again, it does require different parts of that game to hit. So I'd still trust Russell Wilson to, you know, hit the shots when they're there. But if they're not, if they're crowding the line of scrimmage, or if they're backing off, hand it off to Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, Cordero Patterson. Let them get the yards.
Chris, as we sit here, basically the halfway mark of the NFL season, does it still look like that the Steelers made the right decision on not giving Najee his option?
I said from the start of the season, I disagree with the move, simply because it wasn't going to cost you a lot. It was going to cost you less than $7 million. Chuba Hubbard just got an $8.4 million deal. I thought Najee Harris was going to have a good year in Arthur Smith's system. He's had three straight 100-yard games. We're only halfway through the year, and that's with a decimated offensive line. Troy Faltanu wasn't available to this offensive line. Zach Frazier missed several games. James Daniels, who was supposed to be one of the better linemen on this team, has missed most of the season, and yet Najee Harris has been able to eat. And I said back in the summer when we were asking this question, when eventually it was obvious that, hey, they're not signing him to this extension, Najee Harris may play himself into a position where the Steelers are going to wish they did, because now if you want to sign him, and I think that they should if he keeps up on the rate that he's been playing, but if you want to sign him, now he probably is going to be more like $9-10 million instead of like the less than $7 million it would have cost to keep him for next year. And then you could decide next year how much you wanted to pay him.
Need to thank Chris, by the way, for setting us up with our guest at 9:35. Chris, you were the go-between. Woo. So do appreciate that, as we've got David Harrison of Locked On Commanders for our Behind Enemy Lines segment. And he writes for SI covering those Commanders. On the pit real quick here, I think it's a good matchup for the Panthers. What are you seeing?
I see a chance for them to bounce back this week. They can't sleep on these guys because you can't sleep on anybody. This is a dual threat quarterback in Calandria. There's a lot of things that go against Pitt if they don't play disciplined. Malachi Fields is a big body who could go up and get the ball. They cannot let the tackling problems from SMU linger. But it sounds like just talking to all the players this week, they're locking in, they're challenging themselves. Brandon George, captain and linebacker on this team, was calling them out after the game, saying, "Hey, we got to practice harder. We got to lock in throughout the week." We've heard it all throughout the week from different players. Konte Mumfield, we talked this week. I think that Pitt's going to come into this game focused. They're not going to let this game slip away. And I think a big thing here still, and it's something we heard a lot, and I wrote about a good bit this week, Pat Narduzzi talking about how the last three opponents, they've switched up what they've done. If they're a heavy man team, they've been heavy zone. If they've been showing one look, they've been doing another. And that has been confusing for Eli Holstein. And he said this week, the Pitt made an emphasis like, hey, this is what they've shown on tape, but these are the other things we think that they could show you that they haven't shown yet. So be prepared for these. And Eli Holstein has to come out there and not be a deer in the headlights. When guys are open over the middle, he has to throw it, be confident, keep reading and keep making reads off of that, and be ready for when they switch things up and try to catch you off guard. Don't panic. Read your keys. Get to flow through your progressions to the next thing that you need to get to attack those different defenses. They do those things. I think they should be able to beat Virginia pretty soundly.
Chris, great analysis as always. We appreciate you coming on. We appreciate you impacting multiple segments today because we got your guy coming on, David Harrison at 9:35. Is that a Robinson Township shirt? I don't know that I've ever seen anybody.
That's a Jackie Robinson shirt. You are unbelievable today.
What is wrong with you? Robinson Township?
Well, that's why it was so well. I never seen anybody be proud of Robinson Township before.
Oh, man.
Does it have 42 underneath the writing? Did I miss that? Yeah, I missed the 42. All right, good show for me so far. Chris, appreciate your time.
What is wrong with you?
We love you. You're the man.
Oh, man.
Dodgers of Robinson Township.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Chris.
See you, guys.
Wow!
Oh, it's a rough one for you today.
Sometimes you step in it, and sometimes you jump right in it.
Sometimes you're it.
I didn't see the 42. Had I seen the 42.
I will give you a pass there. The Bowser little signal right there is covering up the 42, but still, like, just look at the colors and the script. And
it is Dodgers script. The damn Dodgers! They get me again.
Damn Dodgers.
They get me again.
Is that a Robinson?
I've never seen that. Like, it's not like Baldwin over here in the studio. Like, every day it's Baldwin.
I even knew that was a Jackie Robinson right. Shirt.
Craig's got the plum shirt on.
Oh, man.
Chris referred to Mike Williams as a puzzle piece. And I like that description. Have you, you a big puzzle guy?
Just good to break.
Never had the patience for puzzles.